Hi, I'm Nicholas Seminario, founder of Dark Angel Company. This podcast is to share the untold stories of just a few of the many people battling mental illnesses in this world. If you're in need of a little inspiration to keep fighting or to feel less alone in your battle, keep listening and share to spread awareness. This is the Dark Angel Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dark Angel Podcast. Today we are with Claire Galante.
What's up?
So Claire is going to share her story with what it is like being a college athlete and having mental health issues. So if you want to get into your story, we could start from the beginning.
So my childhood?
Yeah, perfect.
All right. So I've always been an athlete, always been put into soccer, softball, basketball, gymnastics, golf. Currently, I'm a D1 golfer at Hofstra, but it all started with gymnastics. I started gymnastics in second grade, October, and I did it for 9 years, 8, 9 years, all the way to sophomore year of high school. That's boom. Is this okay? I feel like I'm doing really bad.
No, you're good. You're good. So if you want to get into, you know, how that all felt and if that had any effect on your mental health, you know, at that time.
Yeah. Everyone knows gymnastics is a tough sport, very time consuming. So it started off like 3 hours a night, like 5, 6 days a week. And then it progressed into 4 hours a night, then 4.5 hours. And in the summers, it was all day. And it was just really, it started to take a toll on me. Because I wasn't the most studious, like even in elementary school, I was not the most studious, but I started to fall behind, and when all my friends would hang out with each other, I couldn't. And yes, I made like a little family in gymnastics. We were like sisters, so close, inseparable, but there's more life than your sport. And I didn't know what life was out of my sport.
Okay. And now, how did that affect your mental health? Did you even realize that it was affecting your mental health, or how did you go about that?
No, because when you're an athlete, like a gymnast, you don't have time to think about your mental health. Like you get butterflies in your stomach when you're on the beam, floor, bars, vault, but that's sports anxiety. And I didn't understand that. I started to develop clinical anxiety in second grade, but I was just diagnosed with clinical anxiety this year as a freshman in college. But my anxiety got really bad in high school when I quit gymnastics. So being in that hard environment all day, every day after school, you don't really know what the outside world is like. And when I stopped, I became very depressed and lost. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know what my interests were because I never had time to figure out what I liked or who I was, really. And being no longer a gymnast, my friends started to fade away from me in a way. Does that make sense? And then I realized when I quit, I didn't have any friends in school because I didn't have time after school to hang out with people. Sure, I had acquaintances, but I didn't have any friends. The only friends I really like had were my childhood friends who went to different schools and I barely hung out with. So now I'm a sophomore in high school, extremely depressed, but I wasn't diagnosed. So I don't know if I could say that.
But, and you know, not being diagnosed, did you think, I don't know what's wrong with me? You know, did you kind of blame it all on how you were compared to realizing what was really going on?
I guess I like saw myself as a little weak because as a gymnast, like you're supposed to be tough. Like, again, I was tough. In gymnastics, I wasn't allowed to cry. like, my coach would be like, even if I was, like, really upset one night, my coach was like, why do you look like your dog just died?
Mm-hmm.
So I, at a young age, I learned to suppress my emotions, which I'm still dealing with now.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So that's hard, though. I mean, even as a young kid, constantly being told that your emotions aren't validating enough, you know, they're not legit, or they shouldn't be portrayed, you know, for whatever reason in this coach's head that made sense. I don't think that's fair for a young kid. You know, I mean, even an adult, you know, you should be able to really speak your mind and show your emotions.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm still struggling with showing my emotions every day. And I think that's why, like, I struggle with mental health still,
mm-hmm.
as 19 years old, and I still can't talk about myself.
Yeah.
I always deflect with talking to my friends, like, are you okay? I'm always trying to be there for my friends so I could ignore my emotions because I don't understand them.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
When I was in gymnastics, like, they were always, you weren't allowed to cry, you weren't allowed to complain, and if you did, you were asked to leave.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's a hard sport. If you want to be good, you got to do that stuff,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, I guess.
And I was good, though.
Yeah.
Like, I was one of, like, level four. Like, I was young, obviously, but I was, like, one of the top gymnasts in the country.
Wow.
I didn't win state on a technicality.
Wow.
That's what we all say. Like, mm-hmm. it was the worst feeling ever.
Mm-hmm.
I got second, but I should have gotten first.
Yeah.
And I continued till level 9, but I don't think I ever truly loved the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why, you know, if it's this draining and this detrimental to your brain,
it was a job.
Yeah, exactly.
In second grade to sophomore year of high school, it was a job.
Yeah, so now even when you were a sophomore in high school, or even as a junior in high school, this, I'm assuming, had long-lasting effects, correct?
Yeah.
So how did you deal with that in your life, you know, those effects? And did you ever try and, like, look back and say, hey, this is definitely caused from, you know, gymnastics? Was it even, like, recognized, or did you really just start recognizing things now?
I guess started recognizing things now. And, like, in last summer, because I really didn't think a sport could cause so much anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw losing my friends, yeah, but nothing like my, like, I never thought a saying my coach would tell me would affect me this much, especially now.
And, I mean, you clearly remember,
oh, I remember an instance everything.
Of your coach telling you don't cry or you gotta leave. Like, that's hard stuff for a little kid.
If you don't do this, 75 push-ups. If you don't do this, we're stopping practice.
It is. It's abuse.
I don't know if it's a... It's the sport. I don't know if it's abuse.
That's definitely not normal to tell a little kid that...
No, yeah.
You know, you gotta do that stuff.
And there were psychological games.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it's abuse.
Like, once I didn't go to this summer camp for gymnastics because I wanted to play soccer because I loved soccer. I had a tournament and I chose soccer over for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to sleepaway camp, you get inside jokes, and it wasn't even my friends who said this. It was my coach.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, can you get this thing we got from Woodward? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you didn't go. Never mind. Oh. And she calls on the other girl to get it, and mm-hmm. I'm just standing there like, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's just blatant disrespect for such a young age. You know, and that, it sticks with you. That stuff, you know, you don't forget it.
No, I will never forget gymnastics.
So now, you know, let's continue through high school.
Yeah.
What did that feeling of, you know, you said you had that sense of losing friends. You felt like everybody around you was just disappearing. That really stuck out to me, and probably the people listening as well.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? You know, walk us through it and really get deep and talk to us and tell us what it was like, And then when you started kind of getting out of it, if you did.
It was heartbreaking because sophomore year, you're turning 16, sweet 16s. I think I was invited to 2 sweet 16s. And I was the type of kid in school to always smile. We went to the same high school. You knew. Everyone knew me.
Everyone. Yep.
Everyone's like, oh, if you, like, oh, who's Claire? Like, oh, Claire.
Yeah, the funny one, always laughing, always happy.
Always smiling, always looking perfect.
Yep.
What a lie that was. Mm-hmm. I would just go home after school and just, like, sit in my room alone feeling so isolated, so just terrible.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't anyone want to get to really know who I am? Why doesn't anyone invite me to their parties even though I'm on the same, like, school, like, JVA team as them? Mm-hmm. Am I annoying? Because sometimes, like, in, you know, past sports, they'd be like, you're being annoying right now. And I was so comfortable in that area of gymnastics where everyone's, like, texting me, like, oh, are you going to practice today? Oh, you want to hang out after practice? To being... to going to nothing.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling in the world, feeling like the most loved person 1 minute and then feeling like forgotten trash.
Yeah.
And the worst part was nobody noticed.
Yeah.
I don't know how I did it, but I don't know how I do it.
Yeah.
Present tense. Mm-hmm. I go everywhere with the biggest smile on my face. With the most energy. Everyone like, oh, Claire has the best energy. Like, every time I hang out with her, great time. I don't even know if that's really me.
Yeah.
Or if it's just an act, because that's who I was when I was comfortable with my friends, who I was with 24/7 for 8 years. And now I'm just this person who's walking through life.
All right, so that's...
If that answers your question.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I want you to walk me through that now. So you're talking about how you're feeling like you're just walking through life right now, and you felt like that, like you have been. You know, what has that been like? Because, like you said, nobody really knows this about you. So share that side. We want to hear what you've been going through, you know, even after gymnastics, you know. Within the last 3 years, what have you been going through?
So, after gymnastics, again, got really, really depressed. So, I started immersing myself in other sports. I started to do diving, and I started to do golf. I always played golf, but not really, if you know what I mean. Like, just how everyone does it now, going on Saturday and hitting balls and not really caring. But I took it up seriously sophomore, junior year. And that's when the distraction came. I ignored my mental health because, oh, I'm too strong for mental health. It will pass. It doesn't pass. Mm-hmm. And that's when my anxiety started getting bad. I've had panic attacks in gymnastics, but you're just like, oh, it's because I won't go for this thing. Having a panic attack in class for no reason for the first time was the scariest moment of my life.
Do you want to share what happened?
No, yeah. So I remember it vividly, like it was this morning. I was in French class. I was sat in the back, first row. I was in my uniform, scrolling through BuzzFeed, and our French teacher is teaching, and all of a sudden, I feel like I'm having an allergic reaction. And I'm like, was it something I ate? Then my mind starts to reel.
Mm-hmm.
Then my heart rate picked up. Then I couldn't take a deep breath. Then I started sweating. I kept looking around and I couldn't focus on a single thing. I felt so dizzy. I started to shake and it was terrifying.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying.
I thought I was going to faint. Yeah. And then I started freaking out. Am I going to faint?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the nurse's office. This was junior year, I believe. And junior year, I left school 14 times due to panic attacks.
Really?
Because I didn't know what it was.
Holy cow.
And then I went to the doctor because my mom's like, enough is enough. What's happening? And my doctor's just like, panic attacks. And then I took a like test and they're like, you may be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried therapy for the first time because my mom wanted to make sure I was okay. Therapy didn't work out the first time, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never really had anyone to talk to. Because I never had problems like this. I was always there for other people. And I didn't really feel like I could trust anyone to talk to. And quite honestly, Nick, I still feel that way.
Yeah.
I don't talk about my feelings whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And we were gonna on this podcast.
Hello. Yeah. I don't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
No one knows.
I know.
Because what do you expect from someone like me? To talk about, like, oh, it's probably something small. But I hate to be pitied. And I know people don't pity me, but I just hate that feeling.
Because
mm-hmm. I've always grown up as the athlete, the strong sibling,
mm-hmm.
the youngest, the one with all the expectations. I got a D1 scholarship, the only one in my family, and my parents are so proud. So I feel like I'm on this pedestal and I have to look perfect.
Yeah. And I hear you. Yeah.
And I don't know why I keep playing the part of this perfect child, but I do. And no one has a second clue that it's not real.
Yeah.
And that's kind of heartbreaking that no one in my family notices. And then, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's hard. And I hope they listen to this and they're going to hear this and, you know, it's going to spark a great conversation. I do have a question. So once you got out of gymnastics and you saw everybody around you was kind of dwindling and kind of escaping you, do you think you immediately wanted to go into different sports because this brought back that, oh, I'm on top again because this is how people recognize me. If this is how I'm going to get that, you know, that friendship, that attention, those people around me, you know, that I miss. Do you think those are the reasons that you dove right back in? Because clearly you're athletic. You know, you're able to do those things pretty easily. But was the reason you did it because, hey, I want to play sports? Or was it because, hey, I want that validation and friendship again?
100%.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the athlete again. I wanted to be the child that's praised.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So an example of this is my parents love to brag about me, and I love that feeling. It's selfish, but I love it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's big of you to admit that.
Yeah, but I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
Because every event I go to, someone comes up to me and just says, you're the athlete, right? You're the golfer. And then I'm thinking to myself, that's all I am. Like, again, I wasn't able to know what I liked because I was always occupied. And then when I finally had time to figure out what I liked, I hated it. I didn't want to know who I was because the person right now is so depressing and so boring, like so lost. No one likes her. No one wants to be friends with her. So immerse myself in another sport. I'm only the athlete, though, now. That's all I am.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows Claire.
No, and you're right.
No one knows Claire. Like, oh, I want people to know, like, oh, she's the creative one. Oh, she's the super nice one.
The writer.
That's a hobby that I don't talk about. Like, yeah, but that's...
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just figured out I love to read and write this year, but I don't tell my parents that because I don't want it to become a chore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't show anyone, actually. I didn't show you, and we're close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't show my siblings, even though I'm not close with them. I don't show what I think are my closest friends now. I just show them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be good. It could be terrible. It could be the next prize-winning writing. I don't know. But I don't,
it's you.
But it's me.
Yeah.
And I think that's who I am through my writing, but I don't want to expose myself like that.
So now let me ask you, why? What's the worst that could happen, right? You say I want to be a writer, right? Well, seriously, what's the worst that could happen? Clearly, it's something that would make you happy. You know, what I see is you're putting on this mask, right? You're this golfer, you're this... You know, and don't get me wrong, you're great at what you do. You know,
yeah, I'm a D1 athlete exactly. because of it now.
You know, so you can't take that away from it, but that's not what makes you happy, right? Or is it? Or would you want that validation from writing? Or would you want that validation from other things that is really Claire?
That's a great question, Nick. I don't really know, because I just feel like I have this weird notion that I have to do what is expected of me right now. That's why I'm a business major, because everyone expects a golfer to be a business major, no matter what. I'm not really doing what's making me happy right now, which is probably one of the reasons I'm depressed still. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact is, I don't think, and this is kind of childish or like immature or whatever, but I've never made a choice for myself. Like,
and how does that make you feel?
Terrible. I'm 19 and I've never made a choice for myself. Like, my parents will say, you chose your college. We didn't make you do anything, but I chose that college for them so they could be proud of me. Because if I felt like it made me feel like if I chose a different college, I would just be a second thought again. And I know I wouldn't be a second thought. I'm their child, but
mm-hmm. It's just that fear.
It's just what sports do to you.
Yeah.
You're introduced as the athlete. You're introduced as the golfer. If I don't go to college for golf, I'm going to have to figure out who I am, and that terrifies me because yeah. I already had to do that for 1 year, and I got so low in depression, and it was just terrible. And
Could we get into that?
Sophomore year?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but that's a dark time in my story.
Let's go.
It was terrible.
Take us in the depths.
Take you into the hole mm-hmm. I climbed out of,
yep, exactly.
or I'm still in. I don't even know.
You're almost out. We're getting there.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
Yep.
Sophomore year, my first year in high school without having to go to practice for 4.5 hours. First year, not getting invited to gymnastics birthday parties or high school birthday parties. Thanksgiving, we had a little falling out with my family, and we lost contact with one of my cousins, who unfortunately just took his life this year, so I haven't talked to him since that day, and we had to move out of my house for about a month, because we had it's called a puff back, something with our boiler, and it exploded and stuff, and we couldn't live there, so I was living in a hotel. No friends, no plans for a good month. Thoughts to myself. Hanging out with my parents a lot and trying to figure out what to do with my free time.
And what did you decide on doing?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In sophomore year, I hated reading because I wasn't open-minded. All I did was watch TV and get bombarded with my thoughts. I don't cry. As I said before, I was taught at a young age not to cry. That's the most I've ever cried. In my bed alone. And sharing a hotel room with my parents without them finding out I cried was even more heart-wrenching. Because I was so alone my sophomore year and no one knew it. And I was around my family more because I wasn't practicing. and they still didn't know it. And I'm like, does my family even know who I am? I don't have friends in high school. They don't even know who I am. And then that's when I met someone who posed as my friend for a good year and a half, only to get stabbed in the back a year later. Mm-hmm. And realizing, because I thought we were best friends then. Like, finally, a friend who actually likes who I am. But the more I look at it, it was a toxic relationship and she was taking advantage of me. Which was not fun.
Definitely not. And probably didn't help the situation.
Oh, it made it worse again. But then I did something stupid. And I got into a relationship to distract myself from my own inner thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I was always there for my ex. And he was always there for me. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. He's the kindest soul.
Yeah, he's
and
a great guy.
I'll forever love him. Mm-hmm. That's not a question. But he introduced me to his friend's senior year. And then I started having a quote-unquote friend group.
Mm-hmm. So it was like this sense of friendship again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such bad experiences. I got so skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, these are only my friends because they're his friends.
And did you think, you know, it was just almost like fake? Not that the people were fake at all.
No, yeah, the people were so fun.
When I
nice.
Say fake, I mean like you just felt like they wouldn't be around me because, you know, other than
exactly.
my boyfriend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like, these people would not give me the time of day if I wasn't dating him.
And which probably wasn't true.
Well, I mean, they never talked to me before.
All right, well, that's what how you make new friends.
Yeah, he was, I like to say he was the golden boy of our high school.
Mm.
You know, everyone knew him and loved him.
Yes.
Everyone knew of me. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, she's cool. But then suddenly, oh, Claire, yeah, I know her. Do you know me? No. I never went to parties until I started dating him. But I used it as a distraction from my own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, this year, it was like a summer movie, summer romance.
Okay.
Driving with the top down of the car, going on dates, going to the movies, dancing in the rain, rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows a movie ends. And my mental health started to catch up with me. I was really happy senior year of high school. He really mm-hmm. helped me out of that, but it was...
You know, another person can only do so much.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of have to realize, like, hey, I need to be what makes me happy. You know,
yes.
I can't have it coming from someone else.
When you're in a relationship, you need to give it your all.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't... College really... hit me like a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't like myself right now. That's the truth. I can't love myself right now. I'm working on it, obviously, but mm-hmm. and if I can't even love myself, I can't give him the validation he needs. I can't love him. And that's why I broke up with him, because he deserves more than what I was giving him. I was half-assing everything.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to FaceTime every night, but I had class at 8 to 12, then practice, and then some days 7 a.m. workouts, then not more class, and then
yeah,
more golf.
Exactly.
And now, it was too much.
Was this kind of like the start of, hey, I think I'm going to go try and get some help. I think I'm going to try and figure out what's going on.
I didn't come up with that on my own.
Okay. And how?
So, my escapism is smiling and joking.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Yes.
So, I would always joke like, oh, depressed, mm-hmm. like yelling it out. And yeah. I guess when you're an athlete saying that around coaches, they take it seriously.
Well, good thing they did.
Sure. but my athletic trainer... Can I say his? No, I won't say his name. My athletic trainer.
That's up to you. It doesn't matter.
No, I won't do that. He took me seriously. And he pulled me aside, shut his office door. He's like, talk to me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I've seen this before. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He's like, come on, cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened up to him. Which, not easy for me to do.
And about what? Get into it.
Everything. Everything.
Okay.
I told him my script.
Yes. Why don't you tell us your script?
It's basically what I'm saying now. I was a gymnast. I was quote-unquote abused.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I am. I've struggled with depression, but I was, again, just diagnosed with clinical depression, like, last month.
And we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Too.
The script.
Yeah, just this front that you've been putting on.
What people ask, oh, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, you know, just a little depressed. I have anxiety, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. That stupid saying that I always say, and I can't get out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Showing my emotions to people is so personal to me, and it's just so hard.
Yeah.
And it took around four meetings for me to do that with him.
Yeah, so now I have a question for you. Do you think the reason it's so hard sharing it with other people is because you can't even admit it to yourself?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it makes me feel vulnerable. And mm-hmm. I'm just not comfortable with that yet. And I know it's okay to cry. Like, whether you're male, female. I know. Everyone is supposed to cry. Like, I find myself... This is going to sound really depressing. I find myself some nights just trying to make myself cry.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't.
Yeah.
I've put up so many emotional barriers.
Yeah.
That I can't.
Yeah, it's hard.
And the only times I cried were, like, at our friend's funeral.
Yeah.
And my grandpa's.
Mm-hmm.
But when my cousin committed suicide, I didn't even cry because I felt like I had to be strong for my mom. Because she felt like losing a child is the worst feeling in the world. And I was comforting my aunt. I was driving everyone to the funeral and everything.
So that's interesting to me. How are you able to do that? Now, because crying's a normal emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a person who cries. I rarely cry. The last time I cried was when my grandfather passed away.
Yeah.
Right? But my grandfather passed away. I was very, very close with him. You know, and it was your cousin. How are you able to, you know, and don't get me wrong, you're a very strong person.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you able to do that? That must have been, you know, what did you turn on in your brain, or what did you turn off in your brain that was like, nope, you know, did you, I'm sorry, I'm just like speechless. Did you like remove yourself? Like what happened?
You know that lump in your throat when you want to cry?
Yeah.
I used all my strength to keep it down.
And I know you said because you wanted, you know, to be there for your mom, but what did that have to do with you not crying?
Like, rephrase it.
For you to not cry.
Yeah.
How does that be there for your mom? How does that make you, yeah, being there for your mom?
I guess I just wanted to show her that everything was going to be okay. Just to be her, like, supporting system. Like, she was crying and she could hug me if she needed it. She didn't need to comfort me. She could grieve herself.
Okay.
And I guess it took a toll on me more, too. Like, you're supposed to cry at funerals to get it all out. It's closure.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing him get put in the ground, I didn't see my grandpa get put in the ground because that was a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That still kills me. And seeing him put in the ground was nice, but I didn't cry. And I'm just like, did I really get to say goodbye? Did I really show him my true self by saying goodbye? Or did I not really do anything?
And now, does this also have to do with that wall that you've put up? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, why are you weak if you cry? You know, you particularly.
No, you're not weak if you cry. I know that. You're not weak if you cry. I think you're stronger if you cry and show your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could cry. Like, I always joke about, I can't cry, I'm heartless, blah, blah. I feel heartless.
Yeah.
And it's the worst feeling. I'm always joking about it, too. Yeah. And everyone's joking about it with me. Ah, heartless, blah, blah, blah. You didn't cry during this scene? I wish I could, to show that I actually can feel emotion. Like, I'm scared that my relationship with my ex, that I didn't really love him, because I'm scared, because I can't even cry. Like, did I love him? Do I love my parents? Am I able to love? Because if you can't cry, can you really love? If you can't feel, like, sad for a loss of a family member, can you really love anyone? I guess it all goes back to loving people.
I think you can. I
hope I can.
I think, you know, from what it sounds like to me, even just how you were describing the story, and you may not even realize this, it may be subconscious, but, you know, you're saying, I wanted to show my mom that I was strong. You know, you use those words, and I don't think you use those words at random. I think they were used specifically, whether you subconsciously did it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think deep somewhere, deep rooted, you believe that if you show any sort of emotion, you are weak. Whether you want to say that or not, you know, whether you want people to understand that, you know, I think somewhere deep rooted in you, you feel any sort of emotion you show, that is, any sentiment, any type of love, any type of quote-unquote weak type of emotion, you feel you can't show, you know, and I think it's something clearly that you're struggling with now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just, maybe that's something you can talk about with, you know, even your family, like even your therapist that you started going to, which we're going to get into after this. But yeah, like that's what it sounds like to me. You know, just the way you describe that is, you know, I think you do want to show love, and I think you want to show people you care. And I think deep down you don't let yourself, whether you admit it or not, you know, as much as you want to. I think, like I said, whether it's subconscious, whatever it is, you're not allowing yourself to. And I think that's what it really is.
Yeah, and I guess you explaining that made me, like, question something. I think it's the fear of getting hurt or rejected. Because when I opened up fully to my friends and they left me, like, stopped talking to me, I got really low again sophomore year. And I guess I didn't want to feel that again. So even now, I have a wall up with my close friends, and I don't show them my quote-unquote weaker side,
because
I guess everyone I've ever showed my sad part of my life, like depression, anxiety, in a way, they're all gone now. So... sure, abandonment issues on top of everything else. The discovery continues.
Yeah, but, you know, even you saying that, that's a huge realization. And I think those people, though, aren't meant to be in your life. You know, and that's how I look at it. Because there are people around you, you know, who, believe it or not, you know, whether you let yourself believe this, they do love you and they do want to be around you. You know, and it's, who cares if it's two people? That's still two more real people than 90% of the world has around them. You know, so you gotta look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would like to get into your therapy journey, why it started, and, you know, where you're at today. And, yeah.
So, my trainer got really concerned because the beginning of college... in like in December, November area, I was really depressed. College hit like a bus. Like, who actually knew you had to study? Not me, because I did not study in high school and I did fine.
Mm.
it just, Oh gosh, it was hard. So I'm more of a introvert that is a great extrovert, if that makes sense.
I'm the same way.
I would love to stay in bed all day and do nothing, but if people push me, I will go out and be the life of the party. That's who I am. I have to please the crowd, quote unquote. But he sent me to this therapist because he saw I wasn't getting better, and I was getting so much worse, just like sophomore year. And I would never self-harm. Never. I don't know why. It's just in my brain to never do it.
Well, that's amazing.
Yes. But I've thought of it. But I would never do it. And I get really low when I think about it, because then I get really sad. I'm like, am I really this low again? But I would never do it. Never. And he recognized that, though. He's like, you don't even know who you are. I see the bags under your eyes every time you come to workouts. I see when no one's looking, you look so sad. But as soon as someone turns around, your whole face lights up. I see what people are blind to see, because you showed me this side of you, but you've never showed anyone else. So he sent me to our student service, our student counseling services, and there I met our therapist. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not open to therapy. When I first went, I was not open to it, because I'm not really good at sharing.
Yeah.
And then my therapist is like, you don't know what you feel, do you? I'm like, no. Who are you? Do you know me? And she just knew. She's dealt with people like me before, because, like, newsflash, I'm not the only one with all this happening to me. I'm normal, apparently.
Yeah, and yes, you are. And anybody out there struggling with stuff, too, it's okay.
Who would have thought? Depression is normal, which is very sad. And I think she understands me more than I understand myself at this point.
Okay, well, and then she's going to help you understand yourself more.
Yeah, she knows that it's hard for me to open up. Like, as you know, this whole interview, I've been fidgeting with something. Whether it's my neck or the tag on your pillow.
But you're doing very good. Very proud.
Thank you.
But yeah. So that's when you were told that you have clinical depression.
I did a little test, and she diagnosed me with clinical anxiety and clinical depression in the same day. It was a great feeling.
And that was 2 months ago, right? Like January?
February.
Okay. Yeah. So like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So now from that point on, what have you done better in your life? What have you kind of implemented or tried to implement from therapy, or are trying to implement?
So my therapist, Mary, what a great gal, by the way, shout out. She told me this thing I don't think I'll ever forget. She told me to figure out what my values are. So in a way, find out what I like. Look into who I am a little bit, which I've never done before. And so I had to find my values. I love reading, writing, love TV, like television shows with a story, not like, I love The Office, but not like that. Because
just find out who you are.
Yeah. Find out what, look on the creative side of me that's always been suppressed.
Exactly.
Because I'm a business major right now, and I'm so miserable because I feel like it's what's expected of me. And if I do something I like, I'll fail miserably.
Which isn't true.
I know. It isn't true, and it's terrible, but I'm not going to change majors and be depressed the rest of my life. Just kidding. But yeah, I found my values, and I've made it a goal to do at least one value every single day, whether it's write like three lines.
That's amazing.
Read. I love reading. Whether read like a paragraph of fiction literature or something that interests me. And I've been doing that, and it helps.
Good.
I have my weeks. Actually, like 2 weeks ago, I was down again, but you know, you have a good radar of when I'm down.
I do.
Yeah.
I can always tell.
Yeah. See, I have at least one person that I've opened up to. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I did like working on your podcast. That's a value.
Yeah.
What you're doing here is outstanding and...
Thank you.
But yeah, finding your values is a great help. One thing I have to do is start opening up more.
Yes, totally. You will.
Yeah, and I have to tell my parents soon.
And you really do, because I think it's going to be important for them to hear. Maybe this is the way they'll hear, through the podcast.
No. No, probably not. I don't think they know how podcasts work. But I do have to tell them.
Definitely. Definitely.
Because I've never told them about my mental health.
And I think you should.
I should, yes.
Yes.
It's going to take time, but yep. I should. I will. Eventually.
Now, is there any advice that you would like to give people who are listening? You know, it sounds like you're still going through your journey. You know, you're figuring everything out, which is okay. You know, people who are listening, that's completely normal. You know, you don't start at the end. So...
Unfortunately, it's actual work to get out of depression. Who would have thought?
So, you know, if you want to share some advice.
Well, since I'm still going through it, I don't know if my advice will be helpful, but things like listening to your podcast will definitely help.
Thank you.
Because it makes me realize this is not abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not weak.
Not at all.
The people, the stories, Devin's podcast, Rebecca's podcast, outstanding like stories.
Yep.
And it just makes me be like, how are these people so strong? Like, if they could get through anything, like,
exactly,
I could definitely get through this. But I need to open up more.
Yeah. Yep. And it's a process, and you will. And I think anyone listening should do the same. You know, if you're doing something similar to Claire, where, you know, you've suppressed yourself, you know, so much where it's causing you to go into depressions and have anxiety from it, open up. You know, be you. And you're going to see the people who like you, not this mask that you're putting on, they're going to start flocking to you like no tomorrow.
And find your values.
Definitely.
I'm starting therapy, but I already like that. Find your values, something that makes you smile and express yourself. And don't show it to people if that's what you're not comfortable with. Like, I write for myself, and it just makes me happy.
Exactly. Just do what makes you happy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, Claire. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
You didn't do something easy today, especially for you. So, good job.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Peace.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and don't forget to check out Dark Angel Company on Instagram at Dark Angel Co. and online at darkangelco.com. If you're interested in supporting and spreading awareness towards bringing light to a dark topic together, then tune in next time.